welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. Today we're going to talk about a newly announced political action committee called the Maritime Heritage Freedom Political Action Committee. AGLCA has formed this along with the Marine Traders Owners Association and the Seven Seas Cruising Association. So lots of names in there. But my guest today is Phil Wernley. He is a member of the Seven Seas Cruising Association, and more specifically, he's a member of that group's Concerned Cruisers Committee, which really took the lead on this effort. And Phil really has been instrumental in setting up the PAC, which is why we asked him to join us. But before we really jump into the topic, I'd like to take a moment to thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage all of our listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with that out of the way, Phil, welcome to Great Loop Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Life's wonderful down here in sunny Florida.
It sure is. As I said, we've got kind of an alphabet soup going here, but it's AGLCA has teamed with MTOA and SSCA, which are three cruising associations. Talk to me a little bit about how this teaming came about.
Well, actually, for the last two legislative sessions, starting at the end of the session in 2014, there was an attempt on the part of some legislators from Southeast Florida to try to restrict anchoring in the state through an amendment to a bill that the Florida Wildlife Commission had put in. And SSCA got concerned because it looked like the bill was going to basically ban all anchoring in Broward County. And, of course, as cruisers, we were very concerned, as was, you know, your organization and MTOA, that this might become the beginning of a rash of attempts in the state of Florida to restrict anchoring. So we stopped it here, and then last session there was a larger bill to deal with derelict vessels that came up, and during that time an amendment, we began to be aware that there was an amendment going to be filed in the House and the Senate that would have done the same thing that Broward had wanted to do, but they were going to create a setback requirement and essentially require you to not be able to anchor within 200 feet of a residential property anywhere in the state of Florida. And so we became very concerned that was going to severely restrict anchoring in many of our anchorages. And, for instance, in Tampa Bay, we figured out that of the probably 50-some-odd anchorages that exist on the intercoastal along Pinellas County and down into Sarasota, there are probably a third of those anchorages would have been closed out because of this bill.
Okay.
So
and this is really, and AGLCA got involved at that point. We've always been a very non-political group and really not taken part in different legislative events. But for this issue, it was really loud and clear from our members that they wanted us to work on their behalf to take some action. So it's become clear that our members are looking for us to really take an advocacy role on some of the boating issues out there. And Seven Seas Cruising Association, it was wonderful that you had gotten the ball rolling on this and we were able to step in and kind of add our voice behind it as well. Phil, can you talk a little bit about the idea of derelict vessels in Florida versus this setback? Because I think all our associations agree that there is a problem with derelict vessels, and we'd love to see that corrected. But restricting anchoring within a certain range of the shoreline doesn't necessarily correct the derelict vessel problem. Is that? Can you agree with that or explain that further for us?
I totally agree. And SSCA took a strong position that we've always, as your organization probably has, over the years, really been concerned about derelict vessels because they not only create a bad image for those of us who are cruising and are responsible boaters, but also it creates a situation where, you know, you're going to pull in an anchorage yourself and you might be worried about the safety of your boat because there's this derelict vessel anchored somewhere near you. You don't know when they're going to break loose or what, or if there's someone on there who's homeless or, you know, might have a criminal record. You just don't know what's going on there. So we're all concerned as responsible boaters that derelict vessels are a problem and need to be dealt with. And it's a very expensive and a very complicated issue. But the legislature last session was attempting to try to create some better ability for law enforcement to deal with derelicts so they can get them out of these waterways. It's very difficult for them to do that, cost-wise and legally. And so we've totally supported that. This business about the setback with the anchorages really came from a number of residents in Southeast Florida who basically just didn't want people anchored in front of their houses in some of these open anchorages. And so they attempted to tie this issue to the derelict vessel, trying to make it one issue. We were pretty successful, I think, last year, along with your organization, to get those two issues separated and make it clear that you know, that they really weren't related. And that's what we're hoping will happen this year. We expect that there will be a bill filed again to deal with derelict vessels. And we suspect that there may be an attempt to make another run at the setback and anchoring issues. But we'll be there when we can to try to do what we can to keep that from happening.
Any thoughts on whether it'll be a combination of the two issues in one bill again, or do you think the success in getting them separated will remain intact for the coming legislative session?
The general sense that we have from the various lobbying organizations in Tallahassee, And just so you know, we've also been working with the National Marine Manufacturers Association and Boat U.S., who has lobbyists in Tallahassee. And the word we kind of have is that it doesn't appear that the committee, particularly in the House, which was the committee that separated the two issues last session, are in any mood to combine the two issues, that their attempt is going to try to keep the two issues completely separate.
And
so
that would be good news
be
good for us.
Yes, it would be, because then we can deal with derelict
right.
vessels, and then we can proceed ahead and deal with the anchoring issue in a separate way.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the Maritime Heritage Freedom Pack, because that is new, and it kind of sprung from our combined efforts with SSCA taking the lead from the anchoring restriction or the potential anchoring restrictions in Florida. So tell us more about how this pack came about and why this evolved into forming a pack.
Well, it became pretty obvious last session that there were individuals down in Southeast Florida that were basically directly contributing money to certain legislators who then became the champions of this setback issue. And, you know, I don't think anybody out there who watches any of the politics in the country these days would deny the fact that money is a key issue and lobbying anymore. And, you know, I've been in government for 40-something years. It seemed to be a long time ago, citizen action, citizen, you know, meeting and coming to meetings and expressing their concerns, going to the legislatures, a lot of times had a huge amount of influence on what they did. Frankly, it's gotten to the point now where money's what's talking. And, you know, anybody that's watching politics knows that. And so it became evident to us, and talk to some of the lobbyists, whatever, that at some point, in order for us to be able to get to the table on not only this issue, but other issues that are going on in Georgia and Virginia and California. There's even issues in Europe about, you know, trying to get a visa that would be, you know, Euro-wide, so you wouldn't have to go on from one country to another and get new visas every time you're cruising. So there's a lot of these political issues out there that are going to be beyond this anchoring issue. But it was recommended to us that we needed to form a political action committee, which is simply an organization that allows you to raise money for a particular issue. In this case, voters' rights is the way we put it, so it's not just about anchoring. It could be about a lot of other issues. And to be able to collect money that we can then utilize to basically give to campaigns to help provide, you know, if you will, get influence with some legislators that we may need down the road. So that's simply what a pack is, and everybody's heard what these are, but they're nothing strange. They're used all over the place, and we just felt that as our organization and MTOA and your organization agreed that we could do this, and it allows us to give money to campaigns when our other separate organizations, because of our separate IRS statuses, would really prohibit us from being able to do that. So it was important for us to separate this away from the three organizations, but to have the three organizations basically helping to support it through board appointments.
Right. And one of the things that I would like to point out is I know for our association, and I think for yours as well and for MTOA, none of our operating funds are going into the PAC. We set this up.
That's correct.
For private contributions so that individuals can contribute to the PAC, but it's not something that we're diverting our membership dues or anything of that sort to. So we're just encouraging our individual members of each of the organizations involved to make a contribution if they can.
Absolutely. That's the exact point, is to keep us from having to, you know, use money. And it's not just about the fact that we want to protect our members' membership fees, but also that it makes it very difficult for an organization like yours or ours to make significant contributions to campaigns because of the campaign laws. So the PACs are the ones that are allowed to do that. And so it's real important for your members, our members, and everybody listening there, if they're interested in helping to support these causes. And this is going to be a PAC that will probably run longer than this election season. And you know, we encourage them to provide some contributions to us. And would you like me to tell you where they can send their money?
Please do.
All right. They can make their checks out to Boaters Heritage Freedom PAC Financial Management, 8489 Cabin Hill Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32311. So anybody wants to write a check can send that to that our organization, Care of PAC Financial Management, and it'll get put in our account.
Okay, I'm going to have you repeat that just one more time in case anybody missed it.
Okay, Boaters Heritage Freedom PAC, you make your checks, and then mail it Care of PAC Financial Management, 8489 Cabin Hill Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32311.
Okay, and we'll post that to our website as well, so our members will have a little bit of an easier time with getting that address and being able to send in a check if they so choose. Another point I think is really important that has been in the information that we've put out about it is that this is really a nonpartisan PAC, correct?
Correct, exactly. Although, you know, the majority leadership in the legislature in Florida is all Republican, but yeah, it's not going to be a partisan organization.
We're going to take a quick break so I can play a message from one of our sponsors. And when we come back, if we can touch maybe a little bit briefly on some of the other states besides Florida where there are some issues going on that the PAC may eventually try to address. Back in a minute.
Did you know that every mile of the Great Loop is covered by both the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob? Use them to plan your Great Loop cruise and learn about the places you can visit. In the cockpit, important navigation info is always ready at your side, plus marina listings, anchorages, services, and so much more. Each Skipper Bob and Waterway Guide is updated yearly, and waterwayguide.com and skipperbob.net keep you current with navigation alerts, cruising news, fuel prices, and special deals. With the Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob at the helm, you'll always be on course. Order yours today at the AGLCA Ship Store at greatloop.org. Waterway Guide and Skipper Bob are proud sponsors at the Admiral level with AGLCA.
We're back, and we are discussing the new Boaters Heritage Freedom PAC that has been established. Our guest is Phil Wernley of the Seven Seas Cruising Association, more specifically of the Concerned Cruisers Committee of that organization. Phil, let's talk a little bit about some of the other issues that collectively we're kind of monitoring and think that there may be some opportunities for the PAC to get involved with. I think you had mentioned Georgia and Virginia.
Yeah, you know, and you may know a little bit more about that than I do. But you know, from what I can see, because we typically cruise in Southwest Florida, we don't go up the intercoastal that much. But from what I've seen from some of the posts, there's probably similar interest and moves in Georgia and Virginia to try to look at ways of restricting anchorages as well. And I do know too that there's been some controversy about the amount of length of stays that you can stay in those stays without having to pay local taxes and whatever. And those are the kind of issues that, that you know, our cruisers are most concerned about and that hopefully we'll be able to help address. There's also been some issues in California with some anchorages and some water areas where, you know, the communities are starting to want to restrict, you know, anchoring, even in some places like Sausalito, north of San Francisco, where there's been a, you know, traditional anchoring community there. There's a lot of concern and a lot of issues there about trying to restrict that kind of anchoring. And a lot of it's coming from the same kind of thing we hear at Florida. You know, people are dumping their sewage in the water. They're, you know, they're derelicts, they're homeless, and they're not good for the community. And so those are the kind of issues that we're going to be seeing probably crop up a lot more and more around the country, and hopefully we'll be in a position to try to fight them.
Tell us a little bit more how boaters can get involved with this effort. We already talked about monetary contributions. Are there any other things that boaters can do to help to ensure that we can still anchor in Florida and other places
Absolutely.
As well?
Absolutely. And I really want to direct this particularly in the Florida issue, or even if it's in these other states. If you're a resident boater of these areas, and it's not that we, you know, we decry the cruisers that come through, but, you know, a legislator is going to respond to a resident. They're not going to respond to a cruiser coming in, even though they're claiming economic stuff. So best thing you can do is know who your legislator is, who your state senator is, your state representative, and to contact them and let them know of your concerns about voter rights. That's the biggest thing can happen. And what's important is not wait until the legislature's in session, but to do it now. You can go on the website and Google Florida House Representatives or Florida Senate, and it will. You can go to a directory, and it will tell you, gives you a map and tells you right where your representative is and how to contact them. That's really important to let those people know and to be professional about it, not to be, you know, aggressive or negative, but to try to be very positive about what we do as cruisers. And that's what's probably the most important thing an individual can do besides contributing to the PAC.
Great. And one of the things that happened in the last legislative session where there were some hearings and opportunities to provide in-person feedback. Do you anticipate that happening again this year?
Yes, we do. And again, we'll be sending alerts out through your organization, our membership, and whatever to let people know when that happens. And it's very important. It was very effective last year when those legislators looked out in that room and there were, you know, 20 people sitting there, all of who were cruisers, many of whom were voters in Florida. And they had spent their time to come up there, and we went and met with the legislators right then before the committee meetings, and it made a big difference, I think, in terms of our support that we were able to get.
Right. So for our members, definitely stay tuned to our discussion forum. The Daily Digest version of that, we'll have notices when we're in need of people to head to Tallahassee for that. We'll get that word out as quickly and as thoroughly as we can. Phil, tell us a little bit more about the Concerned Cruisers Committee and about Seven Seas Cruising Association as a whole, in case some of our listeners want to get more involved in that as well.
Well, Seven Seas Cruising Association is a worldwide association of individuals who are interested in cruising. You know, you've got the marine trawler folks, and you've got your loopers folks, but these are folks that are cruising, you know, offshore, around the world, up and down the intercoastals, and they're just interested in that. And SSCA provides a lot of webinars, conferences, and educational material for people that are in the cruising community. And that's the biggest focus of SSCA, is really providing the education to a lot of the boaters out there through our webinars that are online. And members or non-members can go online to ssca.org and sign up for the webinars that are there all the time. And a lot of them are replayed, so you can get sign one up and hear it after it's been run live. But that's a big purpose of SSCA, is supporting our cruisers through education. And the lobbying thing kind of became an issue, you know, in the last few years because of some of these other issues. But that's the primary focus of SSCA.
So are there any other current issues that the Concerned Cruisers Committee is working on besides the potential restrictions in Florida for anchoring?
one of the biggest ones that we've been working on is some of the issues in Sausalito in California. We've got some members out there that have been concerned, and we've been helping them write letters and begin to move in terms of trying to deal with local communities in terms of those kinds of restrictions. That's one of the bigger ones that we've been dealing with. And the other one that we're dealing with is this visa issue in Europe, trying to get a European-wide visa for cruisers so that they're not having to sign in and out of every country they move throughout. And so, you know, that's another issue. And we actually have – I actually have a personal friend who's a cruiser in the Mediterranean right now, who is a former lobbyist in Tallahassee, and he's actually working with Phil Johnson and the committee on and SSCA on that issue in Europe right now. And so we're trying to deal with things on a nation on a worldwide basis, not just here in the United States.
Well, and that's certainly a bigger chunk of to bite off than what we deal with, since we're focusing specifically on the Great Loop. But of course, where those converge are in those areas of the eastern part of the U.S. where the Seven Seas cruisers are cruising, and so are the loopers, and so are the marine trawler owners. So I think one of the greatest things that have come out of this potential restriction in Florida is that our associations have been able to work together, because I think just more good can come from that. So I'm very pleased to be united with Seven Seas Cruising and MTOA on this, and hopefully we can continue down this path. Phil, is there anything else you have to add before we wrap up for today?
I think that's it. I just want to, again, thank you all for getting involved, and to your members, thanks to Kim for her attention and hard work with our group, and you know, Stephen having attended a couple of meetings in Tallahassee. We just appreciate all your help. And I just want to say, if you're a looper and you're coming down through Tampa Bay, find Phil Wernley. I'm on Facebook and SSCA, and look us up.
And loopers that are on the traditional seasonal schedule are on their way to Tampa Bay pretty soon, so you may have some people take you up on that, Phil. But thanks again to you and to SSCA for really taking the lead and really bearing the brunt of the work on this, especially because you started into it earlier than the rest of us. So thank you. Thanks to your team, and thank you for joining me today. We'll be back next week with another episode of Great Loop Radio. Thanks again, Phil.
Thanks, Kim.